Well, a number of years ago, there was a movie that Jim Carrey starred in called Liar, Liar. How many of you saw the movie? Quite a few of you. The storyline is about this movie was about a lawyer who had a hard time telling the truth. And the lawyer's frequent lies had a really negative impact on his young son, Max, who learned the hard way not to put much stock in the promises of his father. And it was on Max's fifth birthday when his father failed to show up to his party after profusely promising he'd be there. And when he failed to show, Max made a wish as he was blowing out the candles on his birthday cake. And that wish was that his father would not be able to tell a lie for an entire day. The results were hilarious. And as we all know, the ninth commandment tells us not to bear false witness against our neighbor, which means basically not to lie. But truth-telling goes far beyond not lying. Truth-telling is an important part of building trust and being trusted. Truth-telling is a deep spiritual value that is highlighted throughout scriptures, both Old and New Testament. So today I want to do something a little different. Instead of reading it from a specific text, I want to share with you a series of verses found in the Bible that speak to the importance of telling truth. First is from Psalm 89. Your kingdom is built on what is right and fair. Your truth and faithful love lead the way in front of you. From Psalm 96, Lord, teach me how you want me to live. Then I will follow your truth. From Proverbs 3, we read, Do not let love and truth ever leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on a tablet in your heart. Then you will find favor in the good nature in the name of and the eyes of God and people. From Proverbs 12, we read, a lie has a short life, but truth lives on forever. And from Proverbs 10, we read, he who winks with the eye, craftily and with malice, causes sorrow. The foolish of lips will fall headlong, but the whole body reproves, makes peace. And then this from Jesus in Matthew 5. It's from the Sermon on the Mount. You have also heard that people were told in the past, do not break your promise, but do what you have vowed to the Lord to do. But I tell you, do not use any vow when you make a promise. Do not swear by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by earth, for it's the resting place of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Do not even swear by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black. Just say yes or no. Anything else comes from the evil one. And then finally, these words from Jesus found in John chapter 8. If you obey my teachings, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray that you would speak to us today from these words of faith and through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, this Wednesday morning, the power went out on our house just before I was leaving to come to church. And when I returned home and walked in the house, all of the clocks were blinking. And I went through the house, and it actually occurred to me, and I counted them, that counting the clocks in the car and my watch and cell phone and the grandfather clock and all this, we have 28 clocks in our house. And when you go home today, that's your assignment. Count how many clocks you have. There's the clock on the microwave. There's the clock on the stove. There's the clock on the radio in the kitchen. And the clock on the DVR that I've never figured out how to set. And then we have two alarm clocks in our bedroom. And all of them had to be reset, which was an incredible opportunity for me. You see, before the power went out, none of these clocks told the exact same time. Every single clock was different. My wife actually sets her alarm clock 15 minutes fast so she won't be late. But then when the alarm clock goes off, she'll say, well, I have 15 minutes. So sometimes I just have to stop and say, does anyone really know what time it is? The musical group Chicago actually has a song by that title. And in our house, the answer to that question is almost always no. But on Wednesday, I fixed that. I looked at the clock on my cell phone and said, this is accurate. This is true. And I set all of the clocks in our house to match the time on my cell phone. And on Thursday, Kathleen showed up 15 minutes late to work. Now, I tell you this story because in some weird way, I see a correlation between this whole thing of knowing the correct time and the subject of truth. It's hard to know what time it really is if every clock is different. And quite often, because we all have different perspectives, and because it seems like everyone has their own way of spinning things, it's hard to tell sometimes what is really true, isn't it? And that's where the God thing comes into play. Think about this. If God is truly the designer and creator of everything that is, then God and God only knows absolute truth. And therefore, as we seek truth, it causes us to seek after God and God's ways. A number of years ago, I went to a sailing school and we had a class on navigation, and I learned a lot about the difference between magnetic north and true north and how it can change and vary from year to year. But my point is that as we navigate through life, knowing truth becomes absolutely essential for us to make the right decisions. And for me, and I hope for you, that truth is found in discovering the ways of God. As Proverbs 86 puts it, Lord, teach me how you want me to live. Then I will follow your truth. In the Old Testament book of Job, there's this interesting story. Now, those of you who know anything about Job know that Job was a man who was very devoted to God. But all of a sudden, his life turned into an absolute train wreck through no fault of his own. Everything in his life turned bad. And in those days, people assumed when bad things happened that somehow God was punishing them. People looked at all the bad things that were happening to Job, and they figured out that Job was being punished by God for something that he had done, and it must have been really big, even though he was innocent. Even his best friends were going, whoa, dude, what did you do to deserve this? Why don't you just curse God and die? And Job couldn't answer the question. He honestly did not know of anything he had done that would merit this kind of punishment. And Job cries out, let God weigh me with honest scales, and he will know that I'm blameless. Have you ever been accused unjustly? People think or assume that you've done something wrong, and you're sure you haven't? And what you really desire to know is to know the truth. If you've done something wrong, you'll own up to it, but you really need to know the truth. But where does the truth come from? Job comes to realize that it is God and God alone who knows absolute truth. In Proverbs 16, we read this. A man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by God. Honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights of the bag are of his making. All the weights to the clock are in his making. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. So Job, when he finds himself in very difficult circumstances, when his friends are having all different kinds of readings on the truth, Job cries out to God and says, I know you know the truth. You, O Lord, are the honest scale. All the weights are of your making. And then he says in chapter 31, teach me. and I'll be quiet. Show me where I've been wrong. How painful are honest words. Job is asking God to reveal truth to him. If he is wrong, he wants to know it. And it may be painful. It may require him to make some changes in his life, but he wants to align his ways with God's ways, and the only way to go about that is to know the truth. Not the latest polling data, but the truth which resides in the keeper of the scales with the only keeper of honest scales, and that's God. When it comes to knowing time, the most accurate clock in the world is an atomic clock operated by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. It's based in Boulder, Colorado. And that clock loses just 1 second every 14 billion years. It's pretty accurate. But when it comes to truth, to absolute truth, that comes only from God. So Job wants to know the truth about himself, the real truth, not varnished. He wants to know if there's some offensive ways in him so he can make some corrections. He wanted to live in harmony with God and with his brothers and sisters, so he asked God to weigh him with the honest scales because he wanted truth. And when you really think about it, truth is a starting point. It's the foundation, the true atomic clock on which everything else rests. If we get truth wrong, everything else is corrupted. If we put our trust in a clock that's only off by 15 minutes, we're going to be late to work. If we put our trust in inaccurate information, we're going to make wrong decisions. Now, there's two parts to the sermon, and to be truthful, the first part was longer than the second, so hang with me. Truth and trust are incredibly tied very closely together. In order to trust in someone or to be trusted, there must be truth. Have you ever run into people who just tell you what they think you want to hear? People who don't want to risk challenging you or upsetting you, so they just tell you what they think you want to hear? And when you have to make a critical decision in your life, how helpful is that? When Kath and I first got married, she worked for the CEO of a family-owned business. And this CEO was not very trustworthy, and he was making a lot of bad decisions. The company was in trouble, and so the family brought in an outside consultant who was paid a significant amount of money to figure out what was going on. But who do you think hired the consultant? The CEO. And the job of the consultant was basically to say the CEO was doing a great job if she wanted to keep her job. So how do you think that worked out for the company? A number of years ago, the denomination that I belonged to hired a national consulting firm to assess the denomination's health. And the report was brutally honest. Quoting from the report, it said this: "The denomination is like a bus stalled on a railroad crossing with a train coming at high speed. And worse than that, the leadership has no clue to what trouble they're in." So what did they do with that information? They fired the consultant and they hired another one. And when they got a similar report, they hired a third, and they finally got a consultant who would tell them what they wanted to do. In order to trust and to be trusted, telling the truth and being truthful is essential, and even when it's painful, sometimes especially when it's painful. In order to make decisions that are good, we need people around us who don't tell us what we want to hear, but will challenge our way of thinking and with all sincerity tell us truth to the best of their ability. And when we truly care about another person, the same is required to us. Scripture talks about speaking the truth in love. Now, there's a story I want to close with from John Ortberg, who's a pastor out in California at a Presbyterian church. And I think this is very powerful. I think I've used it once or twice before. But John tells the story of a friend who's a practicing Quaker. And one of the things that Quakers do as a part of their religious faith is they belong to groups called a clearance committee, which operates very much like a small group made up of people that you grow in relationship and trust over time. Well, this friend of John's is a college professor, and he was approached by another college asking him to interview for president. And after going through all the interviews, he was offered the presidency of a prestigious private university. Yet he wasn't quite sure this was the right thing. He wasn't quite sure this is what God wanted him to do with his life. So he met with this small group of trusted friends, this clearness committee, and he told them what was going on. He told them his challenge, and he said, you know, I'm trying to figure out whether I should accept this position or not. Well, someone in the group asked, what is it that you would like about being a college president? And he answered, well, I'd miss the students, and I'd really miss teaching, because I love to teach. He said nothing about what he'd like about being a college president. So they asked him once again, what would you like about being president of this college? And he responded again by saying, I wouldn't like all the fundraising and the travel that you have to do. There was silence, and then finally someone spoke up and said, we've heard what you wouldn't like about being president. What would you like? And he thought long and hard about that question. And he gave an answer that was both embarrassing but true. He said, I would like to have my picture in the paper with the word president underneath it. And everyone in that group grew very quiet because they knew a man's soul had just been laid bare. But it was in this time of truth and trust that guidance came and helped a man desperately in need of help in making that decision. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, St. Paul writes about speaking the truth in love so that we can grow and become more mature and whole. Now, he's not talking about using truth as a weapon, but speaking truth into people's lives in a way that will assist them and stretch them and help them to grow. We need those kind of people. We need people who will speak truth even when it's not what we want to hear. And more importantly, we need to be open to hearing the truth that comes from God. The truth that helps us find that true north that only happens when we learn to trust in God's way. Well, today as we observe communion, it's a time of self-examination. It's a time for us to be honest with God and asking for forgiveness for our sins, both sins of omission and commission. It's a time where we own up to the truth about ourselves and trust in God's promises that as we repent that our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. That's a long way. So I invite you this morning to take just a few minutes to reflect before you come to receive communion. I encourage you to examine your heart, to ask for God's forgiveness, and to trust God's promise to both cleanse and renew your soul. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to seek your truth and to put our trust in you. Help us to be truth tellers and truth seekers, even when the truth can hurt. Help us to speak the truth always in love and always in ways that points people to you. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.